My sneaking suspicion about what is happening in New York and everything is I really feel like Trump is ruining he's ruining it for all of us. What you need to understand, and this is just the unfortunate reality, it's not fair and it sucks, but Trump is the ship, okay? He is the ark. He's Noah's ark. The world is about to flood with third world refuse. The world is about to flood with socialists and communists and third world garbage and filth of every stripe. And Trump, as much as we don't like him anymore, as much as we don't agree with him and everything that he is and everything that's been said, he is like the ark. And two by two, every animal, every right winger, every species of the right is going to be on the ark. If Trump goes down, we all go down. And we all drown. Flood. And that's exactly what's happening. Trump is failing. He's bringing all of us down with him. We are all being dragged straight to hell with Trump. The Trump movement is cresting. It's on its way out. It's nearly over. It is exhausted. It has been killed by this war, by the Epstein files, all of its hypocrisy, all of its betrayals. And consequently, it has lost the will and the mandate of the people. And so no one is interested. No one is excited. No one likes it anymore. It's just run out of steam. And so with the Trump movement goes the entire right wing. There's going to be no unity, no vision, no direction, no stick togetherness. And not only is Trump failing all of us and bringing the right down with him, creating all this division and chaos and just a general demoralization, loss of a will to go on. But what's more, he is empowering the left. And not to mix metaphors, but he is supercharging the pendulum. Every one of these half measures, broken promises, all it is doing is charging up the potential energy of this pendulum, which is going to shoot back in the other direction, like an RPG, like a bazooka, and blow all of our heads off and destroy everything. Every time Trump promises mass deportations and does a half measure and doesn't deliver and just pisses everybody off. Every time he threatens indictments of his political enemies and does a half measure and doesn't actually deliver. All this is doing is storing up this potential energy, pissing off the shock troops, the protesters, the activists, the elites, the billionaires, the radical left, the DSA. And all that's going to do is you're already seeing it in New York City. First with Zohran, now with the DSA, with Hassan Piker. They're just charging up left-wing economic populism. All these issues that have been neglected, like housing and healthcare and cost of living and the rest of it, it's all getting charged up. And mark my words, in 2028, it's going to be brutal, brutal. And we are left up a creek without a paddle. No arc, no vision, no leadership, no organization. Division between Vance and Rubio, the Tucker camp and the Levin camp. And we're going to be staving off this challenge from these other people. And all they have in common is pure resentment against everything that is good and competent and successful and patriotic. Pure resentment against Christians, against whites, against Americans, against the rich, against industry. And it's just going to be this tidal wave. Look at Zohran Mamdani's New York. It's a drag queen situation in the New York City governor's mansion or the city hall. It's the taxing the white neighborhoods to give to the black people. It's the...
This is an emergency transmission. Spanish from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot still to cover this hour, and then I plan on opening up the phone lines in the third hour, something we haven't done in a while. Kind of fell out of the habit. The new studio, we had some troubles with the phone lines early on, but we're going to get back in that habit since it is one of the unique aspects of our broadcast, the fact that we may say some pretty out there things, but then we immediately open up the phone lines for phone calls. So if you disagree with us, if you think what we said is wrong, give us a call. We'll humiliate you free of charge. It's great. It's wonderful. It's fun. We'll do that in the next hour. We'll move on from the Supreme Court, even though we could spend the whole dang time on it. But yeah, it's great. It's like, yeah, the law says, you know, you gotta be in America before you can claim asylum. And the Democrats are just like, great. So if they're in Mexico, they claim asylum. It's like, no, that's not what the law says. They're like, no, it's probably fine though, right? But it's probably fine. But we're just going to do that anyway. Tell you what, we'll do that for about 4 years or so. We'll in fact make an app. We'll make an app that migrants can download on their phone, and then they can claim asylum with the click of a button in Mexico, and then we can import them in an orderly fashion here. And it's just like, what are you why are you allowed to do this? Why are they allowed to do this? Remember, time and time again, they'd be like, there's an emergency at the border. We need this extra money. We need to do this stuff to deal with the emergency at the border. And time again, it was like, you understand what they mean by emergency at the border. They mean people aren't being let in fast enough. And to deal with the emergency at the border, they're making apps so that they don't have to wait at the border anymore. They can literally be put on a plane in Guatemala and shipped to Philadelphia, hit the I'm an asylum seeker button on their phone, and now they're here for life. Now they're getting every benefit of being an American citizen, having never paid into it. They can take an American's job with the help of the corporations setting up entire lawyer networks so that they can live here forever and take advantage of us forever. All right, so we'll move on. So we'll move on from the Supreme Court, I guess. There's been a bunch of other stuff going on in Washington, D.C., with a lot of hearings, of course, many of them descending into chaos and insanity when the Democrats feel as though they've been slightly disrespected. Let's go to clip number two here. This is DHS Secretary Mullen, who pummels a purple-haired Democrat, Representative DeLauro, who, by the way, is like 80-something. So this woman you're about to see screeching at Secretary Mullen is like 80-something years old. She looks like a bad Pokemon cosplay, and she gets really mad if you interrupt her while she's in the middle of doing her favorite thing, lying. Let's watch.
3,900 children were separated from their families.
450,000 kids were lost during the Biden administration.
Mr. Secretary, do not interrupt.
Don't you point your finger at me.
I will point my finger at you.
Don't you be a hypocrite then. Then you be a threat. You should be as upset about the 450,000 kids that were lost. You didn't say a word about it. For 4 years, you never said a word.
Mr. Secretary.
Could you put him in his place?
Don't yell at me.
You should be put in your place.
Ah, the government. Ah, the sacred halls of our democracy. Mullen confronts DeLauro at hearing, you should be put in your place. But that, you know,
there is just something visceral about this. Like, she's lying through her teeth, and he just corrects her, and she's like, how dare you? How dare you interrupt me? Put him in his place. I'm lying here. Don't you understand? Let's go to clip five here. This is Brandon Gill asking the FRAC's director if SNAP policy, and that is the food stamp program, should be able to be used to buy snacks from Frito-Lay. Let's watch.
Should SNAP dollars be spent on sodas?
The purpose of the SNAP program is to provide families to have food and beverages.
Should it be spent on sugary sodas?
I am happy to talk about hunger and nutrition, but not dictate what Americans should or should not eat or may have access to.
I'm asking if tax dollars should be used to pay for sodas.
Taxpayers' money should be utilized to ensure that individuals have access to the food that they need to survive or may be accessible to them.
Do they need sugary sodas to survive?
Some of them do, who do have low blood issues, who may
have, right?
Or who have kidney issues.
You think they need Coca-Cola to survive? Do you think that's the most appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I am not a physician, but medical records and expertise
you were just citing the health needs, apparently, of the American people. So do the American people need Coca-Cola to survive?
I did not say that. I said then.
I'm asking you. I'm giving you the opportunity to say yes or no.
I will not answer for individuals and their choices.
You think that there are some Americans who need Coca-Cola to survive? Is that your testimony?
I am happy to talk about the food and
nutrition
needs that individuals have.
You just don't know. I think most people can rationally say that you don't need Coca-Cola to survive. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree that we have a hunger crisis and that we need to address it, but ensuring that individuals have the food resource that they need.
Got it. And one of those is sugary Coca-Cola. What does SNAP stand for?
It's a supplemental nutrition assistance program.
What's nutritional about Coca-Cola?
I am not a nutritionist. I am a food security expert in ensuring that individuals have the food resources that they need.
This is a common sense question. All of these have been common sense questions. I'm just asking you, is there nutritional value to sugary sodas? It's a yes or no question.
I am not an expert. I would have to look at the dietary
guidelines. I'm not an expert. I don't think that there's nutritional value to sugary sodas. I think most people in this room would agree with that assessment. But you have no opinion?
I'm here to talk about the food needs and the hunger crisis that individuals here in America are facing.
Are you that ideologically dug in that you want our tax dollars paying for sugary sodas that you will not, in a straightforward way, admit that sugary sodas are not healthful for the American people?
I think that focusing on soda when people are going hungry.
We spend a lot of our tax dollars are spent on soda. That's why I'm asking about it. You appear to be so ideologically dug in that you won't answer a simple question that's not an appropriate use of our tax dollars and that does not, in fact, make the American people more healthy.
I won't answer because there's no data sort of proving that.
Do you need data to determine whether drinking soda is healthy?
I think
I'm sorry. It's a serious question. Do you believe that perhaps drinking sodas every day is healthy?
The worst health outcome is hunger. When the individuals don't have the resources.
Do you satiate hunger with Coca-Cola?
I did not say that.
But you said that the worst health outcome is hunger, and I'm asking you about sugary sodas.
And I'm focusing on the nutrition needs and making sure that children have the resources.
Is your organization funded by soft drink makers?
I am not in charge of development, but no.
It's not. Okay. Is your organization funded by organizations that make money from food stamps? Organizations who profit off of food stamps fund your organization or businesses?
I mean, I can't comment to that. Happy to talk about the resources that need it.
Does General Mills fund your organization?
Got her.
I don't have access to that information.
I do. It's right here. They do fund your organization. Do they profit off of food stamps?
Retailers are the major beneficiaries.
Do you think that that's a conflict of interest?
That's where EBT dollars are utilized.
Yes, and they're profiting off of your advocacy.
Which is why they're trying to keep the money flowing.
Do you think that that's a conflict of interest?
The answer is yes. She's not answering.
Most people think that's a conflict of interest. I know you don't want to answer.
Wow, another masterclass. I got to say, every video I've seen from Gill, Representative Gill, is amazing. I think you could have even, you know, gone a little farther with that, because logically, even what she's saying is not an appropriate response. I mean, Coca-Cola, any soft drink, is hugely expensive compared to like what you're actually getting from nutritional elements, right? So like, even if she's like, hunger is the most important, to me, the obvious argument would be, okay, if hunger is such a big issue, apparently there are people starving in America. I've never seen them. Doesn't actually exist. But if their entire purpose of being is predicated on this non-existent threat of starvation in the United States of America, then wouldn't you say, well, for every dollar we spend on something like Coca-Cola, we could be getting $10 worth of wheat that they could eat to actually survive, right? You know, Coca-Cola itself marked up something like 5,000%. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I looked it up during a big trial that was going on, because there's this supplement company that was selling fantastic products to their glorious customers. And certain lawyers were very questioning about, well, do you mark up stuff 50%? Do you really need to make that? At the time, I was like, well, what? That's like the lowest markup ever. The amount it costs to make a can of Coke is like 3 cents or something. I mean, it's like nothing. It's incredibly cheap to make Coca-Cola. So if it may, and I think maybe the actual number was like 5 cents, and then it sells for like $3.50 or something. So, you know, it takes 5 cents to make, but they sell it for $3.50. So it's like 95% markup or something ridiculous. Is that where our money should be going? Should our money be funneled to General Mills and the Coca-Cola Corporation and Frito-Lay? Is that who should be benefiting from our welfare programs? Because that's who benefits. Who do you think is lobbying for this? Do you think that there are a lot of welfare recipients that are paying lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to guarantee that they get their grape soda every month? No, it's General Mills. It's the Coca-Cola Company. They have lobbyists on Capitol Hill, because think about the investment. You pay a lobbyist $1 million. He spends half of that $1 million taking people out to lunch, talking to them about how wonderful it is that our great American welfare system allows people to give themselves diabetes. Isn't that wonderful? They convince somebody, hey, you know, they should be able to buy things. And again, we can even get into, but let me continue. They spend $1 million on this. The government turns around and approves $4 billion of SNAP aid. 50% of it goes directly into their pockets, goes directly into the pockets of whoever hired the lobbyist, the soft drink companies, the snack companies. Trump administration cannot block SNAP recipients in 5 states from buying soda and candy, judge rules. But why not? And then you think about like what this really is and what really an opportunity it is. Okay, so the markup for Coca-Cola is 9,900%. 9,900%. I would bring that up. And I'd say, should we really be paying the Coca-Cola Company 99% of the welfare money because people are buying soda when they could get something other than soda? They could just drink water. If it's about survival, if it's about starvation, I would pursue that tack. And I'd say, if that's what you're really concerned about, then you should be the one arguing against Coca-Cola and Frito-Lay and all these others, because what you're doing is taking this limited amount of resources that we have and you're squandering a huge amount of it on things that you're paying, you know, very high prices for compared to simple sustaining nutrients like cereals or, you know, wheat and bread and butter and things that would actually keep people alive. Then you can think, okay, if we did that instead, what would that do to the economy? What if instead of taking billions upon billions of dollars from hardworking taxpayers, giving it to people who don't work hard or pay taxes, letting those people then funnel that money into Frito-Lay and Coca-Cola, and they're all owned by BlackRock and J&J, or, you know, whoever the other monopolistic conglomerates are. So in effect, you know, you do it through the poor people, you're making them unhealthy. You know, maybe that benefits Big Pharma a little bit, but regardless, functionally, what you're doing is taking billions of dollars from hardworking people and just forcing it into the coffers of these big industries who should, under normal capitalism, have to actually, you know, compete for people's money, not just bribe the government to put them on the food stamp program so they can siphon away a huge amount of money for their own profit. So what if instead those billions upon billions of dollars were forced to be spent on local farmers? What if instead there's a, you know, major subsidy given to local farmers with local produce and local nutrients, so you can actually build up the local community and industry there, rather than have it all go into the C-suite executives of Coca-Cola and they continue to operate their factories in China and Indonesia and anywhere that's not America? What if we actually used the government programs not just to benefit the people who are recipients of it, but use it to shape our society and our culture in a way that benefits America itself and not our corporate exploiters? What if, you know, what if we had a system that actually prioritized corporations and organizations that were healthy for us as a nation? They don't want to, or rather they're bribed not to, and so they don't, and so the bribery continues, the feedback loop extends. Every $1 billion they get from SNAP, they put a little bit of that to the side to lobby for even more access. And the funny thing is, I actually had this argument with somebody probably 20 years ago. I was like in high school and I was arguing with my friend's dad, because he thought it was wrong that the government, and it was a libertarian perspective he was taking. He was going, you know, I don't like that the government gives people money, but if we have a program where the government gives people money, it's their money and they should be able to spend it on what they want. The government shouldn't then have an extra right to come dictate to you. And my position is, yes, they do. No, they do have that. I mean, if the whole point of giving people money or giving people welfare benefits is to keep them alive, is to give them sustenance so they don't starve, then that's what it should do. You don't just give people money and say, well, this is so you don't starve, and then let them spend it on flashy cars or whatever else. But that's what happens to a absolutely massive, massive degree. So again, this is just a giant swindle. And I mean, the best part of that video was him asking if her corporation is sponsored by people who make money off this. And once again, I mean, we talked about this a while ago because it kept happening, where you would ask a leftist question, they would just freeze. They just don't answer. They have nothing to say. They just sit there like they don't even hear it. It's like, hello, I asked you a question. And the silence is affirmative. The silence tells us we know exactly what the answer to the question is, and they do too, and they're mad that you exposed them for it. But there would actually be a way to argue against, you know, you could say like, well, look, this would be another burden of the government to have to do. And, you know, I mean, there are ways to make this argument, but she has no way to make this argument because in reality, she is motivated by a very, you know, base form of greed. It's not sophisticated for her. They just want to be able to get money from the government. Like, it's really not that complicated. You go lobby, talk about how important it is that, you know, people have Coca-Cola because otherwise they'd starve. And then we'll funnel billions of dollars into our coffers and go hang out on the yacht for a while. And she's just like, okay, great. If you actually have sophisticated understanding, you could make an argument on the basis of liberty. You could make the argument, you know, you could appeal to sort of a humanitarian argument and go look, most of the money is spent on crucial necessities, but we think it's fine if people, you know, want to spend some of their precious EBT money on some that they think tastes good. You know, who are we to try to deprive them of the little joy in their life? Like, there are ways. I don't even agree with that, but like, I could argue this better than her. So at the end of the day, really, this is all just a big competency crisis because we have a bunch of dumbass losers running everything. So you're going to run into problems with that you're going to run into problems when that's the situation, and it is certainly the overwhelming situation absolutely everywhere in this country. And I believe I actually had another video from that same questioning, because this is pretty well known to the Republican Party. Like, this is the way it works. This is why, you know, they're so desperate to, you know, bring all this up. We'll go to the other video from Mullen here in just a second, but let's go to clip number 20 here. This is one I was talking about. This is Representative Brian Jacks talking about the real places that our American taxpayer money is going, ostensibly, theoretically, and by law, it's going to keep starving people from dying. Where is it actually going? Let's go to clip number 20 here, Representative Brian Jack. Let's watch.
And specifically, I just want to note from the report, in 2023 alone, food stamp enrollees in one state own more than 14,000 luxury vehicles. And among those, you had three Ferraris, 11 Lamborghinis, 59 Maseratis, and thousands of other luxury vehicles. The supposed goal of the SNAP program, of course, has been litigated today, but what was revealed in this report seems to be the program's reality. Help this committee and the constituents back home understand, how does a program dedicated to feeding low-income families end up subsidizing Lamborghinis and Bentleys?
People make false statements on applications.
People make false statements on applications. Well, it's like Ilhan Omar said, you know, when she was asked about the billions of dollars stolen by the Somali community, she basically said, it's your fault for not having guardrails. Sorry, she literally said, it's because you don't have guardrails. It's your fault that we stole from you. You didn't put bars on your window. What are we supposed to do? Not break in? What are we supposed to do? Not lie? You don't even check. Again, another just really kind of perfect example of the vulnerabilities of the American system. Just not being up to snuff, not being up to par. Like, it can't, our system is incapable of having the security necessary when people like this live here. People lie on their applications. Yeah, I imagine so. Do you have any function to disallow that? Do you have any punishment mechanism for people who do that? Because that's theft. That's just obviously theft. Now, you can be charged with theft for, like, walking out of a store with a candy bar. It's theft. What happens when you're stealing thousands of dollars a month for years on end because you're applying for welfare, lying about your income, and nobody checks it, and they're cutting you checks? I mean, all of these people should probably be in prison. I'd heard a while ago, I thought, that the Trump administration came up with this brilliant, very simple idea, because there are all these dead people and all these people with Maseratis and Ferraris and everything else claiming to require welfare. The idea was, why don't we kick everybody off SNAP and everybody has to reapply? That would be a great thing. Why doesn't that happen? Why isn't that happening? And why aren't there any checks whatsoever to confirm that the people claiming they need government help actually require government? Why is our entire government just a giant leaky sieve of American money for dishonest people? It's like every day we get to hear more examples of, like, oh, there's this system with billions of dollars available, but in order to access it, all you had to do was be dishonest. You had to just lie. You had to scam. You had to just, like, write a paper. I did medical service, $1 million, please. And the government's just like, here you go. Thank you for your service, sir. It's all retarded.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple at thealexjonesstore.com. You back us, you fund us, you are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gate at theellisshowstore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at theellisshowstore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, a 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today, and also buy gifts for friends and family, and know you're funding the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating, level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's ahead of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity-fed water filtration, and it makes this operation possible. Multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals at non-detectable levels, the atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one, Destroying Tyranny, 1776, Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 Free, Defund the Deep State. That's all their designs. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. They designed that. Ball caps as well, all limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. Wonder what to cover here in this last segment before we start taking calls. We're going to take calls in the next hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, not just to get the incredible merchandise we have on sale for America's 250th birthday. And I believe you have about 3 days to order to make sure it arrives. So make sure to place your order soon. The collection is 30% off right now. But of course, in addition to that, we have incredible products like the, well, methylene blue tincture and T3 trifecta iodine tincture. We also have ultimate power. That's back in stock right now. Ultra methylene red is 50% off. Another one of my favorites, really. Whether you combine it with ultramethylene blue or not, it's a fantastic product. We have all sorts of wonderful things at thealexjonesstore.com. I've started taking the colostrum capsules, which I think we're selling at the store. I don't know. Sometimes we get products early, and I'm like trying to, and I'm like, I can't wait to sell these colostrum capsules. And they're like, well, they're not on the store yet. I think they are on the store. But, you know, just like, you know, we aren't going to tell you stuff we don't believe, we also don't sell you things we don't take ourselves. And just about everybody who works here is on a regular regimen of Alex Jones Store products, rather, thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm no different. Ultimate Power, Energy and Focus, the energy drink mix, is now back in stock and better than ever. And, you know, I've got a bunch of videos to play this segment. I don't know how I'm going to be able to connect them so well, but I think they're very good, and I think they'll give you a good idea of what we're dealing with. And you can support our mission to reclaim our nation, our world, our heritage, our way of life, our belief system from the clutches of the insane by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. It's one tangible, real thing you can do to try to defeat this senseless, mindless, for lack of a better term, retardation that we are settled with constantly everywhere. I say that advisedly. I say that quite literally. Because you got things like this. Miami mom who drowned her daughter during COVID-induced psychosis found not guilty by reason of insanity, saying she didn't understand the nature or consequences of her action when she allegedly killed her daughter. Bland had waived her right to a jury trial, and a bench trial was held instead, with Judge De La O acquitting her of multiple criminal charges. How can this be the way this goes? She did do the thing, which in my interpretation, that is the definition of the word guilty. She is guilty. You can say guilty by reason of insanity. What is not guilty by reason of insanity? How did that become a thing? I mean, you can say they don't understand the consequences of their action. They're mentally incompetent. Therefore, it would kind of be cruel to treat them like a real human being. But then they have to just be put away forever or executed. That's got to be the outcome here. Because what I feel like is happening, and it's the same thing that happened with Irina Zarutska. It's the same thing that happened to all these people. Like Irina Zarutska's killer, probably very similar to this. Where it's like, there was nothing insane about what he did. And he was surrounded by black people for a while, didn't stab any of them. When the white woman came on, he deliberately slit her throat, walked around saying, I got that white girl. There's nothing insane about that. So it wasn't just madness. He wasn't like thinking he was surrounded by monsters and stabbing everybody and fighting them off. There's one person he wanted to kill. He killed her. But then it's almost like the crime itself is evidence of insanity, because who would do that? It's so insane. Who would drown their baby in a bathtub? They must be crazy. Only an insane person would do that. Who would just kill a random person for no reason? They must be crazy. So it's almost like the crime itself, if it's violent enough, if it's senseless enough, it's like they use that to determine the insanity. So what does insanity mean? And how is not guilty the decision? Luckily, it appears as though DeSantis and other Republicans in Florida are going to try to impeach this judge because of this decision. Bland, the murderer, will undergo an assessment hearing on a later date, at which Judge De La O will determine if she needs commitment or additional mental health treatment. But shouldn't that already be established by the fact that you said she's not guilty because she's insane? Shouldn't this actually read to determine what the conditions of her confinement are? What the necessary requirements to be tried again at a later date when she's deemed sane? This is phrased as if she might not actually be sentenced to any stay in a hospital or additional mental health treatment. He's determining whether or not, well, tell you what, she killed a child. You said she killed the child because she's so insane she doesn't understand that killing her own child is a bad thing, stabbing her husband and her other daughter, not good thing. She's so insane she doesn't understand the most fundamental instinct human beings have, mothers protecting their children. She's so insane she killed her own child by drowning it in a bathtub, but she might not be insane enough to have to get treatment for it. Is that the way our law works? I guess so. So, I mean, I'm sorry, no offense to those out there with perhaps family members with Down syndrome or something else, but this is retarded, and that's the only word I can use for it. Sorry. Sorry, but like that, if you want, you know, you look around the world, everything is chaos, everything is misery, everything is getting worse at a expedited fashion. The only thing you can point to is the sheer unrelenting retardation that our country is suffering under. The judges are retarded. The lawyers are retarded. The politicians are retarded. The Supreme Court has three retarded members on it. That's the problem. That's the issue. Of course, maybe you could also charge like Anthony Fauci with this as well, because apparently the story is that she thought COVID was going to kill everybody and that Jesus was going to come. And so she's like, Jesus told me to baptize my children, so I drowned them in the bath. And it's just like, okay. She needs to be taken out behind the shed like old Yeller. Right? Right? Am I wrong? She can make all the excuses she wants, you know? Just like, oh, really? Oh, Jesus Christ did, huh? Did he? Turn around for me, would you? Like, that's just how this needs to be dealt with. What are we doing here? Why are we wasting resources on this? Why is this person a judge? What are we doing? What are we doing? We're being retarded. That's what we're doing. Sorry. I apologize for the language, but there's worse things than the language, aren't there? There are a lot worse things than the language. Let's go now to clip 27. Well, we'll just take a little humor break, a little lightheartedness to follow up the insane baby killer. Tim Dillon, openly gay comedian, has some issues with the effectiveness of the pride branding on things like sports, national sports. He was on Joe Rogan. And yeah, again, yeah, it's like, it really is like all of this stuff. Like everything. In a lot of ways, it's everything the left believes. But like everything they do has the opposite effect than they say. Like pretty much everything. It's hard to come up with something where you, if you divide it by the right-left paradigm, everything gets worse under the left. And every time they try to do something, it backfires enormously. And so it's kind of like, how did it get that way? And how does it stay that way? How are people stuck in this? And again, I can think, I mean, literally anything, and maybe left-right isn't even the right paradigm to explore here, because, you know, I think back to the boomer debate that we did, where you've got boomers who just hate Islam with a passion, think Islam is taking over Europe. And you go, okay, but the reason Islam is taking over Europe, which I agree they are, I agree it's a bad thing, and I agree we should try to stop it. Do you understand that our war against people like, say, Muammar Gaddafi was counterproductive to that goal? If your goal is to stop Islam taking over Europe, what happens if I point to one of the main instances that most caused that development? Isn't that a bad thing? And they're just like, nope, it was a good thing, actually. It's like, but what? So what is your goal? What is your goal? What are you actually trying to do? Because if you actually wanted to fight Islamic takeover of Europe, you would oppose Israel with everything you've got. You would oppose wars of choice in the Middle East with everything you've got, because that is the number one driver of Islamic immigration into Europe. But you define yourself. Your entire worldview is based on fighting back against Islamic takeover, and yet you support the very things that cause it. And then when you get to Pride Night, crap like this, what is your goal? Is the goal to normalize homosexuality? Because it's normal. That's done. That happened a long time ago. Is your goal to get people to embrace homosexuality and celebrate it? Well, don't shove it down people's throats. Don't force people, don't punish people for refusing to go along with it. So it's like, what is your goal? If your goal is to make homosexuality just another sexuality and it's not discriminated against, and then fine, then you succeeded, then you're done, then you can stop now, but you keep going. So what is your actual goal? Doesn't make any sense. What is the goal of feminism? Is it to make women more happy? Because it's done the opposite. What is the goal of the homelessness campaign in California? Was it to end homelessness? That's what they kept saying it was. It doubled homelessness. So why do they keep doing it? Why is absolutely everything that half this country pursues diametrically opposed to their stated desires? Why? What the hell is wrong with literally everyone? Oh, we need to build up the pension system. So we brought in a bunch of migrants. Then none of them got jobs and they all went on welfare. Okay, so what is your actual goal? Everything is like this. Everything. Here's Tim Dillon on Joe Rogan talking about it.
Everyone I grew up with and the generation directly under me, they're all institutionalists. They believe very strongly that knowledge is given through an approved, whether you're at NYU or whether it's the State Department or whether it's a board or whether it's a nonprofit that commissioned a study that proved the thing. A lot of these kids do not think for themselves. And they're not kids. They're in their 30s, by the way. And they're in their 30s or 40s. They don't think for themselves. They've been taught that thinking for themselves is bad. It's racist. Or it can lead you down a road that you don't want to go on. It's, whatever. It's misogynist. It's homophobic. Like, whatever questions you're asking, like, why do the Padres have to wear gay uniforms? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, as a gay person, I never said why I need the Padres to be gay. Why are the Padres gay?
What does the Padres uniform look like?
They're making them wear, like, gay things on the uniform.
Like pride stuff?
It's like pride stuff. I don't think it's like a dildo on their head, but I think it's like pride stuff.
What happens when they play in Dearborn?
It's not gonna go well, but it's like, why is Citibank gay? Why is Chase gay? What is it? Why does this help anyone that a corporation is trans? Why is Chobani Yogurt trans? What's the point of this? I don't understand. Does this get people healthcare? Does this make people happy? Does this satisfy?
It makes some people happy.
It makes some people happy that I worry about because I just don't understand. And it makes more people angry. And that's why gay marriage has lost 11 points in support. More people are annoyed. They're like, we're all cool with however people want to live their lives. Most people are. But they're like, why is my bank gay? when did my bank come out as gay? And like, I'm okay with it, but could somebody have told me, like, what are we doing? This doesn't make anybody's life better. It is doing the exact opposite of what they want. They think it increases acceptance. It decreases it because you're shoving a worldview down someone's throat.
It's a humiliation ritual. It's a deliberate cultural subversion. It's designed to increase friction overall. It's designed to destroy the underlying foundation of our culture by going after, again, the, just sort of the fundamental reality of life. Why are trans people so obsessed with children? Like, why is the trans flag baby blue and light pink? The color of that denotes childcare, the color you paint nurseries. Because they're anti-human, because they're at odds with and at war with God. Why do they use the rainbow flag as a symbol of homosexuality? Could it have anything to do with Christian mythos? Having the rainbow be the sign from God that he would never destroy the world again? When he destroyed it the first time because of sexual immorality and homosexuality. So now homosexuals cloak themselves in the rainbow almost as if they're flaunting it in God's face. Why is your bank gay? Because BlackRock told them they had to be. Why did BlackRock tell them they had to be? Because they hate you and are destroying your country. It ain't that complicated, folks. Really not that complicated. It's about like spiritual domination. It's about having the guy who is an actual firmly believing Christian losing his job for not going along with it, or being forced to go out and giving a humiliating apology if he ever dares to speak out about it. It's about enforcing conformity specifically because it's something that people will not accept willingly and have to be forced to do. And so by forcing everybody to do it, you're exerting your power over them. And so in their minds and in your minds, you're forcing them to recognize your superiority, your authority, your power, because it's a humiliation ritual and a form of mental domination. Not that complicated. It's not good. You know, actually, I never actually did this. Maybe I should. I won't tell you who helped me with this. But basically, okay, so if you remember, about a week ago, maybe more, there's a social media couple who announced that they had terminated their pregnancy because they found out their baby had Down syndrome, and sparked a big conversation, a big debate. People saying, you know, pro-life people saying, how dare you? This is sick and disgusting. Other people pointing out all of the negative consequences that Down syndrome can bring in a life. And what my friend did, using AI and a lot of medical literature, basically took the argument in favor of terminating Down syndrome pregnancies and said, what if we could identify that your kid was gay while it was still in the womb? What if there was some sort of gene, some sort of expression, you could DNA test, just like with Down syndrome, and you could say, look, they have this particular allele on this particular cell, therefore, it's a 99.9% chance this baby is going to grow up to be gay. And then you go through all of the negative consequences of homosexuality, statistically, right? You know, being gay shortens your life by like a couple decades on average. The number of diseases that are prevalent almost exclusively in gay men, sexually transmitted diseases, is absolutely massive. The suicidality amongst the gay or trans population, way, 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 way higher than the normal population. And so it's this interesting comparison where you go to a liberal, a leftist, who would be very angry and outraged at me for saying the word retard, but they would kill their baby if it was Down syndrome. It's the type of hypocrisy that we're exploring here. But if you were to present them with all of this information about how bad Down syndrome people's lives were, they'd say, yep, that baby should be terminated. It's the best for the baby. You just want it born to suffer? Why would you're so cruel? Terminate the pregnancy. But what if you showed them an even longer list of negative consequences and said, this is because the baby's gay? Would they terminate the gay pregnancy? Sort of makes them take a real long look at their moral judgment. If you can make a case, and I think you could make a pretty damn good case. It's harder to be gay than it is to be Down syndrome. That like life outcomes are worse amongst gay people than amongst Down syndrome people. So should we terminate gay pregnancies? Should we do that? It's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Let's talk now about something that we've mentioned a few times. We haven't looked too much into it, and I'm going to have to spend more time on this in the days ahead. But there are a lot of stories coming out about the danger and the pervasiveness of flock cameras. So I want to go to clip number 23 here. This is a California resident explaining what's actually going on with flock cameras, why they're really being installed, why they're really being installed everywhere. By the way, Flock is not the only company that makes cameras like this. There are other companies out there that actually are explicit in their, you know, unwillingness to build a surveillance system. They, you know, deliberately don't allow their cameras to be accessed by anybody and everybody. There are other systems that could be used. They choose Flock on purpose because it, as a corporation, is immoral and willing to bend the rules when they can, allegedly, from my interpretation. Let's go to clip number 23 here. A California resident explaining what's really going on with all these Flock cameras everywhere. Let's watch.
My name is Brett, and I've been a Corona resident in District 4 for 15 years. I'm here to introduce DeFlock Corona, a community coalition asking this council to cancel the city's contract with Flock Safety and remove the cameras that have been deployed throughout our city. Our website is deflock-corona.org. I'm here because new Flock cameras were recently installed between my home and my daughter's school. So now every time I make that drive, my family's being photographed and logged into a giant corporate database. I want to be clear what these cameras actually are, and I say that with somebody with 20 years of experience in IT. I've served as the chief network architect for Fortune 500 companies. I've designed data centers, and today I work on cloud infrastructure for one of the largest loan origination companies in the country. I'm not speculating on how this technology works. I've read their patents, and I know how it works. Flock advertises these cameras as simple license plate readers. Their own patents tell a different story. They're AI-powered surveillance machines that capture every passing vehicle and person and transmit that data to a private corporate cloud, making it queryable by a multitude of state and federal agencies. The city of Corona does not control that database, and Corona residents have no public record rights against a private company's servers. Our daily movements are being harvested by a $7.5 billion corporation that only answers to venture capital investors, not to us. Flock did not reach that valuation on their per-camera subscription fees. That math doesn't add up. The city council should also understand who they're doing business with. Flock's CEO was asked whether the company had any federal contracts. He said no. That was a lie. Public records revealed that Flock had been secretly running a pilot program giving the U.S. Border Patrol access to local police camera data without the knowledge of the cities that paid for the cameras. Now consider who's behind the company and where your data flows. Flock integrates directly with Palantir, a data fusion platform with a $30 million contract with ICE. Peter Thiel, the founder of Palantir, is also one of Flock's primary investors. These are not separate companies with separate agendas. They're connected actors that are building a connected infrastructure. Palantir's own CEO stated publicly just this month that his technology is being used as a political instrument to designed to reduce the political power of certain voters. And that's the ecosystem that our Corona cameras are feeding into. We're not anti-police at all. We're against mass surveillance of innocent residents by a company with a documented record of deception built by investors with a stated political agenda. We're asking the city council to start auditing the queries made against Flock's database to disclose any data sharing agreements and to take a vote to cancel the Flock safety contract.
All right, so I'm going to show you another video when we get back on the other side. Yeah, this is a map showing all the Flock cameras in the United States. There's a lot about this that is extremely disturbing. Of course, Flock has patents describing broader object detection, including tracking people and pedestrians. The system uses a centralized cloud database for nationwide queries. Data goes back to Flock's private cloud AWS-based encrypted server. Nationwide lookup is common, with 75% of customers enrolled to enable cross-jurisdictional searches, with residents having no direct public access. It is a giant AI-powered surveillance grid and has never once been used to stop a crime or deport an illegal immigrant.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue. Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen,
I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.